This is Jazz Night in America, and I'm Christian McBride.
Tonight we celebrate one of our own, a man that we all love dearly, the one, the only, Joe Temperley.
Joe Temperley has played baritone saxophone and bass clarinet in some of the world's greatest jazz orchestras. He's worked with Woody Herman, Buck Clayton, the Thad Jones Mel Lewis Band, Clark Terry, Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, even John Lennon. But for the next hour, the spotlight's on Joe, who's earned a place as one of the all-time greats on his instrument and is holding his own well into his 80s. This hour is Joe's hour. Joe was born in 1929 when jazz was still pretty young, so you might think it was all around him when he was growing up. Except he was born in a mining town in Scotland, so he didn't hear a note of jazz until he was a teenager during World War II.
We had a rhythm club that we used to meet in this pub every couple of weeks. And we had one record, Sing, 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 Benny Goodman, played that to death. And that was the extent of our jazz.
Not long after that, Joe left home and after a few years found his way down to London and a seat in one of Britain's top big bands, the Humphrey Littleton Band. Joe watched from the bandstand as America and the rest of the world seemed to go crazy over a different kind of music from the UK. But Joe kept looking in the other direction across the Atlantic.
I got to hear Duke Ellington and Coleman Hawkins and Count Basie. And the Americans got to hear the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. For me, it was a wonderful trade, yeah.
Joe was so into Ellington in those days that when the Ellington Orchestra came to the UK in the late 50s, he ended up seeing 23 out of 26 shows on the tour.
We used to travel around, following them around from town to town. And gradually, after a couple of times, two or three times, we didn't have to pay for the concerts. And we got very friendly with the guys in the band. So that really paid off. I got to be very friendly with Harry Carney.
Harry Carney was the Ellington Orchestra's baritone sax player, Joe's hero.
I always idolized him and loved the way he played.
As he sat in the audience, Joe had no way of knowing that he'd met his own future. That when Harry Carney died, Joe would take over his chair in the Ellington Band, or that he'd play in the Mercer Ellington Band for nearly a decade, or that it would lead to another gig that's lasted since 1988, playing in the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra under Wynton Marsalis.
Joe has been the anchor and foundation of our orchestra. The depth of love we have for him can't be expressed.
We were there to record when the orchestra celebrated Joe Temperley in concert and premiered a concerto Wynton wrote just for Joe.
Principal characteristic of Joe is the depth of his soul. He's somebody who has proven to us that the blues is truly universal. It's easy for people not from this culture to feel like the only way you can play is you have to be from a certain place, or your skin has to be a certain color, or you have to have parents that play the music. It's all kind of excuses and reasons why we give for not being able to play this music. Joe Temperley's answer is his sound and his way of playing, and the seriousness of that sound, the seriousness that he takes our music, and how he's been an ambassador so successfully for our music for so long. That's why we love him with the depth of intensity that we do. So this movement is about the country soul of Joe.
Thank you. That's Joe Temperley on the baritone saxophone with the Jazz and Lincoln Center Orchestra playing the fourth movement of Joe's Concerto.
Joe Temperley.
Before that, we heard the first movement. The concerto was written by Wynton Marsalis for Joe Temperley, who's been in the orchestra since it started more than a quarter century ago. That gave Wynton plenty of material to work with.
This is based on a thing that he plays when he warms up. I don't care where you are in the room, you're gonna hear him play this phrase, warming up. And he's done it every rehearsal, every gig for 27 years, I've heard him do this. And when we rehearsed it, he said, I never play that.
Thank you. That's Dan Nimmer on piano, Wynt Marsalis on trumpet, and Joe Temperley on baritone saxophone, performing the final movement of Joe's Concerto by Wynt Marsalis. This is Jazz Night in America, and I'm Christian McBride. Welcome back to Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. You may not know the name Joe Temperley, but you've heard his sound, maybe in the Mercer Ellington Band of the 70s and 80s, or in the Jazz and Lincoln Center Orchestra since it was formed. Joe is from a mining town called Lochgelly in Scotland. It wasn't real big on music when he was growing up.
I was born in Scotland, you know, grew up. There was no sign of music anywhere, apart from 17th century Scottish music. My brother bought me a saxophone when I was 14. You know, that was the extent of my experience. You know, I learned as I played in each band, I learned a little more.
At 17, he left for Glasgow, which held his attention for 2 years before he felt the pull of a real metropolis and moved to London.
And that's when I really started listening to jazz and started playing jazz and listening to other people play jazz and things like that. When I got to London, there was a union band.
And that meant life on the road all over Great Britain.
You get a little bit stir crazy from time to time, but you know, you get sort of immune to it and you get to accept it. You get on the bus, you travel all day on the bus, you get to the hotel, clean yourself up, go for a sound check, have dinner, play the concert, go back to the hotel, go to sleep, get up in the morning, get on the bus. That's the whole thing.
Or don't go to sleep and get into some trouble.
One night in England, the hotel has a night porter. And he takes care of all the stuff after midnight. So we got in one night, very late, 1 o'clock in the morning or something, and we'd all been to a party and had a lot to drink and stuff. And the night porter was very drunk, and we locked him in the refrigerator and just ate up all the food that was laying around and drank all the booze and then went to bed.
But Joe kept looking across the Atlantic, and in 1965, he finally made the move to New York City.
It was 2 weeks before Christmas, and I wondered what I was going to do. They told me I couldn't get in the union for 6 months, so I couldn't do anything musically in New York. And I went to work in a department store, and I worked in a department store until May of 66.
But after that, Joe's career really took off. He played with Woody Herman's band, Ernie Wilkins and his orchestra, and the Thad Jones Mel Lewis Orchestra, which he felt was the highlight of that period.
Every Monday night at the Vanguard was an absolute highlight because you didn't know who was going to walk in. All kinds of people walked in, like Miles and Paul Gonzalez and Ray Nance and people like that. They'd come and sit in. And that was a real party every Monday, something to look forward to every week.
In May of 1974, Duke Ellington died.
There was a lot of funerals at that time.
Duke's tenor player, Paul Gonzalez, died, and so did one of his trombonists, Tyree Glenn.
So it was a terrible blow to Ellingtonia. Harry Carney died in November. Duke died in April.
Joe performed at the funeral of his hero, Harry Carney, Duke Ellington's baritone saxophonist of 45 years.
I played Sophisticated Lady at Harry's funeral. That was his big feature.
Not long after Harry Carney passed, Mercer Ellington, Duke's son, asked Joe to join the band. And one of the highlights was working with trumpeter Cootie Williams.
And Cootie was one of those people where he could play the same solo every night with different inflections and make your hair stand on end every night.
Back at Jazz and Lincoln Center's Rose Hall, the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra performed the piece Duke wrote just for a saxophone section. It's Symphonette, featuring Joe Temperley on baritone saxophone. Thank you. That was Symphonette from Duke Ellington's Black, Brown, and Beige.
The saxophone section. Victor Goins, Ted Nash, Sherman Irby, Walter Blanding, Paul Nedzella.
My name is Ted Nash, and I play saxophone in the Jazz Lincoln Center Orchestra, and I compose and arrange for the band as well.
Ted says he had no idea who Joe was when they first met playing a gig together.
Joe Temperley, who at that time was probably younger than I am now, he probably was in his very early 50s, and I was 19, and I played like I was 19. Too many notes, like I was trying to conquer the world with every solo. And I remember I was playing lead alto on this one concert. It was a Duke Ellington piece of music, and I was playing it real brightly with all this kind of modern energy, and Joe said, "This is not rock and roll. This is jazz. This is Duke Ellington. You gotta play it with warmth."
Ted's grown since then, and the two have played together for decades doing big band, small club gigs, and even private functions. Ted says that no matter the setting, Joe is always on.
Sometimes when you're sitting in a band of some of the heavyweights of jazz, and you're playing for a bunch of drunken people in their tuxedos who are there to maybe celebrate something, and they just hear this music in the background, and it's, yeah, but you get used to it. You're like, okay, man, they don't really care what we're doing, but we do. And I can say, I appreciate Joe. I've known Joe for so many years, and he's never, ever represented himself to be anything other than he is, both musically and personally. And a lot of people don't know how to do that. A lot of people will shift how they play based on the situation or if they're trying to impress somebody. Joe doesn't care about impressing anybody. He cares about being himself. And ultimately, he does impress you because of that.
Wynton asked Ted to do a bit of arranging for the concert for Joe.
For this program, for celebrating Joe Temperley, I arranged This Time the Dreams on Me. Thank you.
Coming up on Jazz Night in America, more music celebrating Joe Temple. This is Jazz Night in America, and I'm Christian McBride. Joe Temperley's molded a lot of students in a career that's practically 70 years long so far. Paul Nadzella was just 13 or 14 and starting to get serious about the baritone sax when he first met Joe.
And my mom took me to see him at this restaurant called Zeno's. He would play so quietly at some moments, but like the sound was so huge that glasses would still be vibrating on the table. It was just, that just blew my mind how you could play quietly but have a huge sound. So that was definitely the first thing I remember. And then I remember, I think we were talking to him. He came down and sat with us, you know, and he was soaking his reeds and like, I mean, he had a scotch and a beer. I forget, he was soaking his reeds in the beer and maybe sipping the scotch. Probably he was soaking in the scotch and sipping on the beer. And I was like, oh, well, you know, what's that, you know? And he's like, oh, yeah, it's good for the reeds, you know, whatever. But, you know, that was 20 years ago. That was Joe in full force back then.
Paul ended up studying math in college, but then, on a whim, he auditioned for Juilliard and got in on scholarship. So he began studying with Joe.
He used to play Bach duets all the time. His flute and piano sonata. One of us played the flute line, one of us played the right hand and the piano.
Paul sat next to Joe during the concert celebrating him at Jazz and Lincoln Center.
That's like actually humbling. Like I'm saying, like any baritone player, when you sit next to Joe, he has a sound that's not normal. It's like, you know, you can't fake it. I want to do the best I can because he's such a big influence on me, one of my teachers, you know. Try to keep it alive as best I can. I love you, Joe.
For the next tune, Joe took a break and Paul stepped into the spotlight to honor his mentor.
I was featured on Chris Crenshaw's original composition from his Sweet God's Trombones, which was called Noah Built the Ark, which was originally written for Joe, but, you know, they threw me a bone and gave, like, Joe a break after playing, you know, 9 tunes in a row. So they gave me, like, a little something to play. I never heard Joe play it live, but I heard the recording of it, so I had an idea of how, you know, how it was supposed to go. But that was cool, you know. It was good to be able to try to keep up with him like that.
Thank you. That was Noah Built the Ark by Chris Crenshaw.
My legacy is just to, you know, to play as well as you can and, you know, to enjoy music, that's all.
It might sound cliche to say that music is what keeps Joe going strong, but you know what? It's that simple and that deep.
You enjoy your love for music and take advantage of it.
For the climax of the show, the entire saxophone section of the Jazz and Lincoln Center Orchestra grabbed baritone saxophones for one final number called Very Saxy. We'll be right back. that's it for our celebration of the great Joe Templeton. Today's music was recorded and mixed by James P. Nichols. This episode was produced and written by Alex Arif, the show's editor, Rick Carr. Special thanks to Chris Dennison. Our senior producer is Katie Simon. The executive producers of Jazz Night in America are Amy Niles, Anya Grundman, and Gabrielle Arbor. Thanks for listening. Spend some time with us again next week for Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride.
Ted Nash, Victor Goins, Rolfo Blanding, Paul Nedzella, for Joe Temperley. We are the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra.